Okay, we are up to Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud, Chapter 1, Mishnah 10. So the Mishnah wants to know what happens in the following interesting cases of Schach, where it's not exactly what you might expect. What do we pass on? So what does the Mishnah say? Bayas Shenifchas. Let's say you have a house that has a roof that partially collapsed in Vesikich Al Gabav. So you have this little hole in the middle, and you place a Schach over it now. Is it going to be a kosher Sukkah or not? So it says the Mishnah, Im Yesh Min HaKosel LaSikuch Arba Amos Basul. If there is a distance of 4 Amos or more from the walls to the Schach, and that is meaning that there is still the roof that's standing, and you have 4 amos of roof from the open hole where the schach is to the wall, 4 amos or more, then it's going to be an invalid sukkah. The reason why is because the Mishnah is using the principle of something that we call dofen akuma, a bent wall. So we say that a bent wall could be still a kosher sukkah. So if you have less than 4 amos roof that's left, and that's extending out of the wall, so we say, it's still really one wall, and the schach is just covering the actual sukkah part. If it's 4 amos or more, we say that we can no longer consider this an actually a real wall. It's not a bent wall, and therefore we cannot say that it is a kosher sukkah. Another situation, says the Mishnah, v'chein chatzer shehim u'kefes achsadra. If you have a courtyard that a person puts schach over the open part of the courtyard, and it's surrounded by a roofed porch. So the schach is covering the entire open area, but if this roofed porch area that comes out of each of the walls of the courtyard is 4 amos or more, then we say that it's not considered part of the wall that's making the chatzer wall, it's making the courtyard wall, and therefore it would be not kosher. If these canopies or these roofs that are jutting over these porches are less than 4 amos, then seemingly it would be a kosher sukkah. And finally, one more example gives the Mishnah, Sukkah Gedola, Shekifuha V'davar She'in Mesakchim Bo. So a large sukkah. What does it mean, a large sukkah? So it seems like the commentaries say that it's a sukkah that's of the size of the bare minimum, meaning this 7x7 tfachim, not for right now, but that's the bare bare minimum measurement of what a sukkah could be, 7x7 tfachim. So that's what we're talking about. If you have a bare minimum of a sukkah, that's 7x7 tfachim, what we call over here a large sukkah, and it's surrounded by material that cannot be used as schach. In other words, so you put the schach over this 7x7 area in the middle of the of this sukkah, and then there's a much larger area that's covered by a real roof or whatever it might be of these boards that are connected to the walls. So im yesh tachtav arba amos pasula. So we say if there is a distance of 4 amos that is beneath the invalid schach, then the sukkah is invalid. So imagine for a second you have a three or four walled structure. Doesn't necessarily make a difference, and you have these walls, and coming out of the walls is some sort of unkosher roof material that would make it a non-kosher schach, and there's a little hole in the middle of this roof that's 7x7 tfachim or more, and just for ease, just assume that we're talking about an absolute square, so it's equal on all sides. And from the opening that has the schach over it to the wall, there is an area of 4 amos or more. So if that area of that unkosher schach material, again, is going to be considered not kosher schach, and therefore we're using the dofen akuma, the bent wall principle, then that is going to be a non-kosher sukkah if it's a 4 amos or more length from this open area where the schach is to the wall. If it's less than 4 amos, then seemingly it's okay. So again, im yesh tachtav 4 amos pasul, if there is beneath this unkosher part of the areas of the roof, 4 amos or more to the wall, then it's going to be considered an invalid sukkah. That's Mishnah Yud. Mishnah Yud Aleph has a few more interesting situations in which Chazal needed to come up with solutions. So let's say Ha'osa Sukaso Kimin Srif. A person decides he wants to be a little bit creative, and he makes his sukkah like a teepee. In other words, you can imagine he basically took took schach material and leaned it against each other to make one sort of a triangular tent or a teepee, if you will. So what's the halacha over here? Osha smacha lakosel. Or let's say he just took some valid schach and he just leaned it against a wall, so that there's a little area in there, but basically it's like a right triangle shaped little tent that he made for himself. So again, there are three walls in theory, because in the teepee situation you have one on the you have these two walls that are slanted to meet each other in the middle on top, and then okay, he put it against another wall of a building or something, and over here also with the schach leaning up against the wall. So again, assume that there's like a back wall that he has it to as well, and then the schach is leaned up against the wall. It's the second wall, and then the schach itself is the third wall. So in all these situations, what's the halacha? What's the problem over here before we even get to the halacha? Unclear exactly where the roof ends and the wall begins, and vice versa. So Rabbi Eliezer posel b'nei she'in la gag. Rabbi Eliezer says this is totally not a kosher sukkah because it doesn't have a roof. You have the wall or you have the roof, but it's a diagonal, so therefore you don't know where exactly the roof begins and the wall ends, and therefore it's considered as if there's no roof, and therefore it's going to be considered invalid. And the Chachamim say, what are you talking about? It's totally kosher, right? You can say that we don't know exactly where it is, but at some point the wall ends and the roof begins, and the roof and the wall is made out of valid tzchach, and therefore everything is okay, and everything is going to be considered kosher over here. That's what Chazal, that's what the Chachamim say. And then finally, the Mishnah and the Perek concludes, Machatzeles kanim gedola asah the shchiva mekabelas tuma ve'in mesakchem ba. Let's say you have a large reed mat. So it seems like there are two types of reed mats that you can make. You can make a small reed mat, or you can make a large reed mat. The small mat would be used for things like wiping your feet on or whatever. So in general, the assumption is that when you make a small reed mat, that for sure is going to be considered a kli, and then that's something that could be makabel tuma, and therefore it would not be a kosher schach. We said that anything that is susceptible to tuma cannot be a kosher schach. But let's say you have a large reed mat. What's the status of that? So it says the Mishnah, if a person makes a large reed mat, and he says, I'm specifically making this for lying down. So therefore, well, what happens at that point? Then it's considered a kli, because he's using it first for a lying, a vessel of lying down. And therefore, it says, the mission of a person says specifically with this large reed mat about that it was for lying down, it's susceptible to tumah, and it cannot be used as a schach. However, the sikach, if a person, the owner said that he is using it for shade, he's using it for the schach, then of course it could be used as the schach, and it's not susceptible to tumah. And then finally, so that's the opinion of the Chachamim. It seems like the Tana Kama. Rabbi Eliezer says, what are you talking about? Achas katana v'achas gadol, whether it's small or a large reed mat, asa'a l'shchiva mekabel tuma ve'in mesakchem ba, it was seemingly made no matter what, for lying down. In other words, it seems like, according to the Chachamim, that if a person didn't have any kavana, based on the first statement, if a person didn't have any intention for a large reed mat, we probably would assume that it would not be for lying down, because people don't use large reed mats for that, according to the Chachamim, according to the Tana Kama. However, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he says, whether you're making a small or a large reed mat, no matter what, it's seemingly going to be made for lying down, and therefore, whatever it's going to be used for, some sort of kli, thus it is susceptible to tumah. If it's made for lying down, then it's going to be susceptible to tumah, and it cannot be used as a schach, unless, again, he explicitly stated, if the guy said that he's explicitly making, seemingly the large or the small, by the way, if a guy said, I'm making this for the schach, I'm making it for shade, then it could be used as schach, and it will not be mekabel tumah. So that brings us to the end of Mishnah Yud, and also to the end of Perek Aleph. God willing, next time we'll continue with Mishnah Beis, with Perek Beis, but for now, we'll stop right here.